Okay, someone just said to announce that this is not our last lesson, that we have two more. Your small group leader will tell you about the fun we have coming ahead next week. And we pray that Kathy will be back on the 17th to end us strong. Just a little update. Kathy had surgery, and her doctor, she said, came in like a little boy. He was so excited about how it went. But our prayer now, and I don't understand this because I didn't go to medical school, but is that the bone would grow. So that's a simple prayer, just to pray that she'll go back in maybe a week to do evaluations and to see, but we just need the bone to grow. So let's all be praying that for sweet Kathy. I told her, I was like, it was so fun to hear her voice and just know she's on the other side. So now it's up to the Lord, and we know he can do a good job at that. Okay, you're going to hear this a lot this today, but we're in lesson 10, and it's called How Long? And what I'm going to start with today is a review, because you're going to hear this a lot from me, is that I'm a visual person. I did this for one of my small groups this week, and it helped me, and I hope it'll help you. So if you look at the board, I can't leave the mic, but here you are. See your cute stick? Little, you look skinny. You look good and skinny on this one. Here you are. And here's your thing. Your thing might be, I'm waiting to get a bigger house. Your thing might be, will my daughter make cheer? Your thing might be, when is their attitude going to change? But y'all, if we're honest, there's always a thing. Because really, as a believer, what we're saying is, when will this world be made new? And I've been thinking about that. When Kathy talks about waiting, I'm kind of like, okay, what am I waiting on today? But y'all, if I'm honest, we're all waiting. We're all longing for that day of heaven when there's no more worrying, there's no more pain, there's no more funerals. I mean, haven't we been covered up? And but as we review, just a sign of review, there's options we have. And hear this, y'all. This whole process equals relationship if I choose it right. But there's options. I can go in the pit. Most times we go in the pit. There's nothing wrong with the pit. God can meet you, as we've learned, in the pit. There's the pit of despair. There's the pit of disappointment. There's a pit of relationships going wrong. We talked about that. Was one of my favorite lessons. I can get really shaky in my waiting place when what I see is not what's been promised. But I have options too that are really good when I lean on the Lord. I can believe his promise. I can learn to endure. I can run that race and hit mile 26. I can grow. And guess what she taught us last week? And I just love this. These verses, which go back to those. In the midst of hard, I can have joy. And so y'all, what is in the gap of your skinny little self and the thing is faith. Faith, y'all, if we choose it. And this is something that I keep thinking about, y'all. Sometimes in faith, you're kind of like, but I have a choice. I have a choice to choose every one of those each time. I have a choice to cling on to God, or if I have a choice to run. Because really, like I said, we're all going to be waiting. And so today is, we're going to talk about that. What really happens is sometimes in the waiting, and that's what we go to a dark place. Been there, done that. Accomplished that one. This week I had a friend say to me, Kate, if I'm honest, I'm really mad at God. And I said, okay, let's talk about that. And she said, it's taking too long. And I was like, huh, well, you should go read Psalm 13 and come to class on Tuesday. But y'all, one of the darkest places we can go to is in the long season of waiting. And we're going to get to talk about this really fun guy today that many of you've heard about, David. And it's been really fun for me. I kind of felt a little bit smart and mature, but I get to say the word that's scholars because I did some research on my own. But scholars, I want to give you the backstory of David's life, because if you understand the backstory of where he is when he's saying the psalm, it really makes sense. And I think a lot of you can relate to it. So David, y'all, David was the youngest of the son of Jesse. So the Lord called a man named Samuel, and he said, we need another king. Saul was king. We need another king. So I want you to go to this home of Jesse, and I want you to line up all of Jesse's sons. So Samuel went, and Jesse lined up all of his sons out there. And Samuel was like, nope, not him. Nope, not him. And finally, Jesse was like, well, I mean, I've got this little son, and he's out in the field being a shepherd, and he's our smallest, youngest son. And Samuel said, yes, him. And you know why Because y'all hear this. The only qualification he had to be a king was that David trusted God deeply. And just a side note, don't you always love how Jesus chooses the least of these? I love that he always chooses the little man that was out in the field, not even a part of the big family, not the chosen, not the cherished, not the beautiful one. He was the little one out in the field, and he was doing the work of the Lord, and all he did was have a simple faith of trusting God. Okay, so then our guy becomes really popular on the scene. We know when he's like David and Goliath, and we know that he just chose faith over the big, scary, scary giant. So what happened to David is that Saul, the big old king, became jealous of David because David's kind of catching some likes. You know what I mean? I like to talk in my world. You know, he's becoming popular in the world. And Saul was supposed to be popular because he's the famous king out here. So Saul became jealous of David. And Jonathan, Saul's son, said, "Hey, David, he's going to kill you." So guess what David had to do? He had to go live in the wilderness. He had to flee. And guess what happened? Just like David, his picture did not line up with his promise. Ding, ding, ding. Can we relate to that? So we're going to start and read Psalm 13. But I want you to understand many scholars, that favorite word I like to say, many scholars believe that David was writing this from his cave in hiding. So think of it that way as David's talking here. Okay, let's look at Psalm 13. "How long, Lord, will you forget me forever? How long will you hide your face from me? How long must I wrestle with my thoughts and day after day have sorrow in my heart? How long will the enemy triumph over me? Look on me, Lord, and answer me. Give light to my eyes, or I will sleep in death. And my enemy will say, 'I have overcome him.' And my foes will rejoice when I fall." Okay, stop right there and put your pen right there. David complained and grumbled to the Lord, and that's okay. He was in a scary, shaky place, and this is right where David is. David has a choice right now, because you know what scholars say? A good word. David had an opportunity probably 2 to 3 times to kill Saul. How many times do we see our how long situation say, "I'm done, never mind, I'm tired of waiting, I'm taking this in my own hands"? David had that opportunity many times for all his worry and pain to go away in his mind. He could take that circumstance and put it in his own control. But look what David chooses to do. And this is what we're going to talk about today in the right way. "But God, I trust in your unfailing love. My heart rejoices in your salvation. I will sing of the Lord's praise, for he has been good to me." Y'all, David was feeling the pain of unanswered prayers. He was preoccupied with how long. I love David here because I can relate to David. He was real with the Lord. He was honest with the Lord. And he had a choice. He could choose promises and relationship with God, or he could choose distress in his circumstances. So like two sides of that psalm. He could choose to sit in the distress, the worry and the fear in the cave, or he could choose to turn and say, "But God, for some reason, I know to trust in you. I know to trust in you, even when I can't see it." I love that Julie Spartman in Crazy Train says, "When the situation doesn't look like we want it to look, we can always say, 'He is in this and he is in me.'" Our emotions, y'all, they become very unreliable in those moments when we can't see, when the circumstances look shaky. I thought about this, like if modern day Kate was writing this psalm, it might say something like this: "God, why won't you answer my prayer about that kid's attitude? God, why are so many people suffering from mental illness? God, I'm so overwhelmed about that kid going to college. God, why do my husband and I continue to disagree on parenting even when we're praying for it? Or God, why is Kathy's hip taking so long?" And then like something like, "God, I'm a follower of you, but why do I keep on sinning? Why do I keep doing that?" But here's what I want to know that you can stop and say. Can I stop and say, "But God, at the end of the day, I'm going to trust that these are just my emotions and that my perfect picture of every one of those things working out will never make me okay. It'll never make me okay, y'all. There's always going to be something. So what am I going to do in that?" pretty circumstances will never make me okay. And that's what David is finally saying, is I'm scared to death in this cave, but I'm going to trust that you're going to give me a peace despite I'm living in the cave and I'm scared. Okay, so let's turn and listen for a minute. And I love these thoughts because it really gets to the heart, whether you answer them now or you answer them later in your quiet time. It's something to think about. Jesus, would you show us right now, where are you, God? When you don't feel God speaking, what do? You want to put your pen to paper there on some of these things. Do I stop reading your Bible? Do I avoid the people and activities that point you to Jesus? Am I still and wait upon the Lord? Or what else do I do? When you don't think God is listening, what is your response? Is it to stop praying? Is it to run to people and things that provide instant attention and gratification? Is it to press on and press into the secret place of God's presence? Y'all, so this verse is my favorite of where we have to land. It's that in our dark places, we have to believe that he is closer than we can really imagine. Psalm 34, this is a great one. I want you to think about it. The Lord hears the people when they call for him to help. He rescues them from all their troubles. The Lord is close to the brokenhearted. And I put in parentheses, not those that have it all together. He rescues those whose spirits are crushed. The righteous, y'all, the righteous, the people that are living right, person faces many troubles. That means all of us, we will face many troubles. But look what happens, y'all. The Lord comes to rescue them each time. Do you believe that for yourself? Do you believe when it's hard, when it's scary, when the storm comes, that he wants to rescue you in this place? Okay, so let's do something. What are we going to do about this shakiness? Well, here's something we can do. We can seek his face. We can go to him. We can seek his face just like David did in the cave. He was like, I don't feel this way. It hurts. I'm scared. All these things, we can seek his face. And this is that part, y'all, of joining in on relationship with God. One thing we've said in group, and I think about this a lot, what if it's really not about the thing? What if he just uses the thing for us to know him better? What if we think it's about this waiting game and Jesus is like, it's just about really getting to know me? And so I thought about this. When you think about if Jesus is the closest person to us in relationship, it's kind of like if you were to walk up to my husband, Kate and Tom at lunch, Brick and Tin, and you walk up to us and you're like, hey, y'all, and we're just sitting here, but we don't talk. We don't complain. We don't argue. We don't enjoy each other. We just sit here and stare at each other. Y'all, I think that's what a relationship with God is like. If we don't seek his face, if we don't go to him, if we don't tell him our concerns, if we don't tell him our worries. In this place, I love that David poured out his heart to God. Psalm 62:8 says, oh, people, trust in him at all times and pour out your heart to him, for God is our refuge. He wants us to take him to him our how long situations. And here's what we can say, y'all. These are the slam. When we come to him, there's some slam dunk promises. And these are them. They're not promises that it's all going to work out. They're not promises that my daughter's going to make cheer. They're not promises, you can tell what's on my mind. They're not promises that if I pray, this good thing will happen. These are the promises, y'all. God promises to hear. I will answer them before they even call to me. While they are still talking about their needs, I will go ahead and answer their prayers if we come to him. If we come to him, he promises his nearness. The Lord is close to all who call on him. Yes, to all who call on him in truth. He promises us to be near. If we come to him, y'all, he promises to help us. Isn't that what we all really want? Everyone who calls, help God, gets help. So y'all, these are the slam dunk things in those shaky places, in the waiting, that we can hold on to. God, you say, I'm calling to you for help. Will you help me? And I think that one of the things that sometimes gets in the way when we can't feel God's presence and we can't see where he is and what's going on is sometimes, and Kathy wrote it a different way, but it says, have we grieved him through sin? Like, what is the static? If relationship is about enjoying each other, about talking, about hanging out, if we feel that disconnect or that static, sometimes we have to go to him and say, hey, God, what's going on here? I feel that static. The other day, my daughter, I had said a comment, and I knew I had said the comment, and I felt the cold shoulder, you know, that a cute teenage daughter can give you, and I felt the grumbling and the moaning, and I finally had to text her and say, hey, have I done something wrong that's kind of offended you? And she got to say, well, yes, you have. But I was thankful. I knew what I had said, and I knew it was wrong, but I'm thankful, y'all, that we cleared the air. And that's the same with God in our sins that sometimes get in the way. So have we grieved him? I love this verse. Donna Green taught us this verse of how to always start our quiet time, and it's always been on my heart. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. Point out anything in me that offends you and lead me along the path of everlasting. Y'all, and I think this grieving for through sin, I've been thinking about it. Is there a lie that you're believing about a situation other than believing God's word or his promise or that he's going to help you? Is there a lie like, well, this is just what always happens to our family? Or I know it can't be true because, I mean, my kids, am I believing those lies or am I believing the natural circumstance over what God can do? A few weeks ago, I think this small testimony kind of says it clearly about myself. A few weeks ago after I gave the lesson, I came home, got in the bed that night. I can't remember what happened, but something was kind of making me shaky that afternoon. And I got in the bed, and I just laid there, and I heard, you should have told your testimony this way. Oh, my God, you forgot that. Oh, my word, you should have said this. You know how you do when you lay in the bed at night. So much that poor Stephanie and Kathy, I blew up their phones at 11:30 at night, and I was like, take it down. Take down the lesson. I messed up. Take it down. And sweet Kathy called me early the next morning. I feel like she's just such a sweet mother in my life. And she said, hey, Kate, did you pray that the Holy Spirit would speak through you? And it was like, yes, ma'am, I did pray. I prayed Luke 12:12 that the Holy Spirit's words would speak through me. And I said, oh, and then wait. Debbie Brazil prayed for me in class, in leadership before the talk. And then she said, okay. She goes, that's what we're going to depend on. That's what we're going to believe in. You've got a bunch of noise going on in your head. And she was like, I'm going to listen to the lesson and make sure you didn't say anything out of the ordinary. But that noise is avoiding the peace that you could rest in. She said, we prayed. You claimed that promise. And that's what we're going to rest on. And that made me see the difference. And when I'm believing the noise, and that gets in the way of me experiencing God's peace or his promises for me. And another thing that can happen in the static on the line when you're trying to connect with the Father is that we can just have certain coping mechanisms that need to kind of be rooted out. Where do you go to? Many times I will talk to 3 different people before I've gone to the Lord over my things. And none of these things, like she said, are they're not wrong. They're not total big old sins. They're just not best. This verse in Mark 4:19 says, "The things of this life, the worries, the drive for more and more, the desire for other things, those things cluster around and around close and choke the life of God out of them." Y'all, for a minute, shopping is really fun. Love it. It fills a sweet little void for a minute to avoid things. For a minute, going for a walk is a great option. It's not going to be the answer. It's not going to give you the eternal peace. It's going to last for a minute. So what am I running to? Retail therapy, exercise, instead of sitting with the Lord to deal with my heart. I think about David too. I think about him like running around the wilderness, and finally maybe he just got to the cave and was like, "Okay, I give in. I'm tired of running. Maybe I should sit with you." It's kind of the story of Kate's life. So let's sit and have some listening moment and think through this. Lord, would you allow us now and reveal anything in my heart that is interfering with your light and life flowing freely in me? Anxious thoughts, offensive ways, or coping mechanisms. Y'all, so here's the thing we can do. I love knowing there's something I can do. And this is the end of the psalm. This is the gap when David had a choice. And this is what we can do. We can replace it. We can replace all those emotions for the word of the Lord. Y'all, because inevitably, when we get to this place, we feel like we're lacking. We feel like it's not come through for us. Something's in the way. And those are our emotions that get caught. So we have a choice. We can choose what we're lacking, or we can put in the good word of the Lord and the good things that we do have. And this is when David chose to focus on the goodness of the Lord. He didn't focus on where he was and what was going on. He chose in that gap to focus the goodness of the Lord. And y'all, that's what happens in the gap. When we choose to focus on God's goodness, faith builds. And I believe our faith is what overcomes those dark places, the scary, scary moments. And we cling to that. We must confront our thoughts and feelings. And this is something that God is going to give us, y'all. And these things that she's about to list for us, I love. These aren't promises about your certain circumstances of life. This is the promises he's given us that fill in the worry, the fear, all the things so that you can handle the circumstances of your life. Does that make sense? Because only God can be the one to change the way we respond to our life circumstances. And this is what he wants to do. And we can't manufacture this, y'all. This is the thing. Sometimes the control freak in me wants to think I can make all these things happen by trying to set everybody up for success. These are things only God can do for us. He can take darkness in our life, and he can make it light. Micah 7:8. "Do not gloat over me, for my enemies, for though I will fail, I will rise again. Though I sit in darkness, the Lord will be my light." He can take my anxiety, and he can take that out and give me a peace. Psalm 29, "The Lord gives his people strength. The Lord blesses them with peace." He can take the pain that I'm experiencing with hope. Psalm 22, for he has not ignored or belittled the suffering of the needy. He has not turned his back on them, but has listened to their cries for help. He can take that distrust where I'm really, really shaky in and give me trust. The Lord is my strength and my shield. My heart trusted in him, and I am helped. Therefore, my heart greatly rejoices, and with my song, I will praise him. He can take my impatience, how long, O Lord, with anticipation, and make that exciting. Weeping may last through the night, but joy comes with the morning. That'll go in. And this is what Kathy talked on last week when she gave the sweet example of being at her dad's funeral as one of the saddest days of her life, but yet God gave her joy. Sadness with joy. You did it. You turned my deepest pains into joyful dancing. You stripped off the dark clothing and covered me with joyful light. Y'all, these are the things we want. We think we want these little circumstances, but these are the things that are the deep down settled confidence that knowing that God is going to take care of me. And none of these things have to do with our circumstances. Y'all, David traded his frustration and sorrow for conviction of trust. So he traded all that yucky mess and said, but I will trust you. And despite his circumstances, I love this, that David, really what he ended up doing, which is really where we get to at the end of our day when we lay out tired and in the cave, is that he decided to surrender. He decided to surrender the picture he wanted, that God to come rescue him, to make him king today. And he decided to say, but yet I'll sit and I'll stay in this and I'll wait. And so here's the part, y'all. Our part is just to stay in relationship and trust him. God's part is to grant and fulfill his promises in his timing. So our part really is just trust. Surrender, and that sometimes is every minute of the day for me. And God's part is to say, I got it. Thanks for giving it to me. And I'll get that done when I want to get it done. His timing. So that's what we can do, y'all, is replace it with something good. And by replacing it, I think these are great promises to keep and hold on to. What do you need today? Do you have anxiety? Well, there's peace to offer. Are you in pain? Well, there's some hope. Are you lacking trust? He can fill you in with trust. So let's take a moment. Holy Spirit, I ask you to bring to mind the many ways that your goodness is actively at work in my life right now. List them here. Okay, so I hope, before I go into testimony, I just want you to see that David, as our example, is a perfect example to me in the waiting. And really, in relationship, if we want to grow strong in him, we have a part. David had a part, and we have a part too. And I hope we can choose that part to grow in him. And there's nothing wrong. I love that there's nothing wrong with complaining and bringing all that to the Lord. It's kind of the next step of how we handle it. And that's what we're learning is in this middle part. So just a little bit of what this looks like on me recently. I think just like Kathy has the common theme of her hip and can tend to testify about that. I think the common thing for me this year has been my firstborn. Imagine that. He has been the, probably just like Jackson is to Kathy, just the area that the Lord has used to grow me the most. And he, this year, it's his senior year, and he is going to college, so it's my firstborn. Many of you have done this, but it feels really shaky for me to send my kid off to college. But yes, I do have other kids, and I love them just as much. I feel like I'm always talking about my firstborn, but when he gets out of the way, we'll have a lot to tell about the other ones. but Lawson and I are super close. We have gone through some hard together, but the reason about his life that I've had to grow to learn is that, do you remember when Kathy talked about relationships? And she used that analogy, and she said, sometimes in relationships, when people do it different, we can choose a fence. Well, guess what? God made Lawson different than Kate. And he does not do life like I do life. In fact, this morning, I laughed so hard in the shower because my daughter, Alice, that maybe does life a little bit more like me, so it feels safe and it feels secure, she was yelling at her dad, Dad, will you please go get me some gas in my car? I'm scared I'm not going to make it to school. And he was like, okay, honey. So he went to get some gas in her car, and he came back, and he's like, well, Alice, you were not going to make it to the high school with 70 miles left in your tank. And I was like, yes, like that is my girl. We prepare for hard times, you know. That is the way her brain thinks. That is the way. Lawson would have been like, 5 miles, I got it. I'm going to coast on down that road. It doesn't matter. I mean, I think about it. I'm like, if you told Kate the fire is hot, Kate says, thank you so much for letting me know. I'm going to step back, and I will just watch the fire. Lawson says, oh, awesome. I'm going to touch the fire, and then I'll let you know if I think it's hot. And so in that raising this child that is so precious to me, a spirit of fear was able to attach to that, because guess what? He wasn't going to do it like I did it. So so much that it's actually become a sweet connection that we have kind of had to grow. He was my firstborn, and he was a boy, and he was different. And God knew exactly what he was doing, because he's used that kid to grow me so much and get rid of a lot of control. And so much that we've gotten so much closer. The other night he came in my room and he was like, Mom. And I was like, what? He's like, what I'm about to tell you is going to freak you out. And I'm like, okay, I'm bracing myself. What you got for me now? You know, he knows now, and we can laugh about it. But I think I feel like I've got it all together now that we're in high school and we've got it together. But guess what? A new season is upon us. And it's this word called college, and he has to go. And so what is happening is an opportunity for fear to come in again and to want to fear-based parent him, which I've done a lot in my life, but I'm trying so hard to get rid of. And so a few weekends ago, he's going to Ole Miss, hotty-totty, and he was going to go by himself. He really doesn't have a lot of good friends going, so he was going to drive in the car by himself. I didn't know where he was going to stay. I didn't know the sweet little boys that were going to welcome him. I didn't know anything. And I started getting those vain imaginations going, and I'm really good, back to that visual, I'm really good at picturing the ditch he's going to be in, what it's going to look like, how we're going to get there to rescue him, da-da-da-da-da-da-da. All things that I had no proof were going to happen, but my mind of fear was rolling. And so what I tend to do in that moment is I tend to take it, instead of, I've learned to not throw it on the teenage boy, but I tend to take it and give it to my husband. And I'm like, have you done this? And da-da-da, what if this happens? And Tom looked at me, and he's like, we've had a good talk, and you're going to have to do something with all this. And so I said, okay. So I did my escapism thing that was one of our things, and I went for my walk, and I decided to bring Jesus on this walk. And I was like, God, what if this? And I don't even know what the bed looks like he's going to lay his head in. I mean, what if there are mean boys there? And you know, da-da-da. You fill in the blanks with all the things. And I remembered one thing, that a tool that my sweet mentor, Mary White, used to tell me. And she would say, hey, Kate, and this is when I had toddlers, so I thought it was so foreign. She'd be like, sometimes when I don't even know where my kids are and I'm laying my head on the pillow, I would just pray, God, will you send an angel to escort them home, remind them it's time to go home, and tuck them in the bed every night? And I thought, okay, I could do that. That's a choice. And so I got home and I said, you know what, God, I even know where that's from. That is biblical and that is in the Bible. And so that means it's a promise for me. And I went to Psalm 91, one of my favorite Psalms. And it says, yes, because God is your refuge, the high God, your very own. Evil can't get close to you. Harm can't get through your door. He ordered his angels to guard you wherever you go. If you stumble, they will catch you. Their job is to keep you from falling. And y'all, I stopped right there and I thought, I can trust this, or I can just sit around in all this fun, vain imaginations and fear. And so I chose, and I laid right there, and I laughed so hard when I was going to write this down, because I don't even think I saw it as this. I think I always saw Mary White's angel as like this sweet little angel that did like this and escorted them out. Well, I saw my angels as like big old bodyguards, and it was like one in front. He had four. One in front, one on either side, and one behind. So basically, he couldn't go anywhere, which was great. But I was like, that's how I visualized him throughout the day. I was like, Lord, you've got him. You've got him. You've got him. So the next morning, I woke up, and we went to church, and I was sitting in Sunday school, and I get this text, and it said, hey, Mom, I had a great time. Some older guys are coming to pick me up, and we're going to church. And y'all, I nearly fell out, because I thought, Jesus, my request was you would just keep him alive. I had no clue. I didn't even tell him that we were doing church, that he should go to church. That was not even on my radar that this kid would even think to do that. I mean, you know what I'm saying? But, and I thought it was the sweetest moment between Jesus and me that he gave me that prize, that I thought, you know what? You gave him to God. You surrendered him. And there's a song that it says, wouldn't it be like you to do it different than we thought? Different than we thought, but better. But better. But y'all, this is not a testimony about, so when you pray the promises, you're going to get this sweet prize at the end. That was a sweet moment for me and the Lord, and it was a sweet prize. But I want to tell you what I wanted for my cheap version on Saturday. My cheap version was to make me okay was going to be that Lawson was going to call me every hour on the hour, and he was going to say, hey, Mom, I'm good. I'm right here today, and this is what we're doing, and this is where I'm going to bed, and this is da-da-da. That's what I thought I needed. But y'all, God was able for me to erase those. That's just trusting in something that's pretty much false. And instead, I was able to trade my trust for something bigger, is that the God of the universe was going to take care of them and he was going to have them. And y'all, it's similar, like my faith grew because I didn't have to trust in my little, he hasn't called, it's not time, what is he telling me? I got the trust that, hey, Kate, I've got him. Got big old bodyguards around, I remember. And so y'all, I know moving forward, I've got many opportunities. He's going to college. And I know everyone is not going to end, hey, Mom, I'm going to church today. I know that. Because guess what? In this world, you will have trouble. Kate's going to have trouble. Lawson's going to have trouble. All of you are going to have trouble. But here's what I do know, that there's a peace that can carry me through that trouble, that can carry me through that phone call, whether it's church or whether it's the Oxford County jail. There's a peace that I can ask for and I can have. And so I want to close with this psalm. The end of Psalm 91 says this. If you hold on to me for dear life, says God, I will get you out of any trouble. I'll give you the best of care if you will only get to know and trust me. Call to me and I'll answer you. And I'll be at your side in bad times. I'll rescue you, then throw you a party. I'll give you a long life and give you a long drink of my salvation. Y'all, there's that sweet option of doing it that way. And I want to do it that way every time. So let's just pray to end this. God, thank you so much that you've got all these promises out there for us. Lord, we so many times want to take the cheap and the quick way out and just make us feel okay. But God, in that waiting and in that place, you're growing our faith. Would you help us to sign up for that, even if it is signing up for the long road, that we're clinging, that we're begging, that we're trusting. So I pray today that we would see there's a better option than the quick fix of making our soul spirits okay. It's when you pour into us, when we see you show up for us. So do that for us now. In your name we pray. Amen.